I do miss our free-form conversations that just kind of go wherever. So.
And that's what's happening today. Welcome to another episode of Theology-ish. My name is Ryan.
Hi.
That's William.
I thought it was my turn to do the intro.
You could do it.
No, it's fine. It's fine. You do the intro. I don't even care. It doesn't even hurt my feelings, usurper. Anyway.
How's it going, William?
Oh, pretty good.
Yeah?
Pretty good. Yep.
Well, other than being angry about your car, what have you been up to lately?
Being angry about Hothead Burrito.
Anything else?
You know, dog, I'd just be straight chilling.
Mm.
Like, for real.
Here's something fun.
What?
I, William, very soon, am going to be getting back into the gym with you and getting those gains.
It's true. You're overdue.
I'm very overdue.
For much of your life, people have told you that it's impossible for you to gain weight.
Yes.
And for a brief period, a couple years ago, you were coming to the gym with me, and I got you to gain what, like 4 pounds?
10.
10?
I gained 10 pounds.
I got you to gain 10 pounds.
I probably lost it all.
Probably so. But we can get you that 10 pounds
and then some. Yeah.
We might be able to bulk you up to a solid 165.
So fun fact, when I was a teenager, probably about 15, 16 years old, my mom used to take me to a nutritionist. And this nutritionist had me on like specialty diets and like things to help me gain weight. And we would come in for our regular checkups and visits, you know, every few months or whatever. She would go, "Are you doing the things we've been talking about?" And my mom would be like, "Yep, I've specifically made sure he's done exactly what you told us to do." And then she'd weigh me and then she'd go, "Huh, he hasn't gained any weight." And sometimes I had lost weight. And she's like, "Huh, that's not supposed to happen. Sure is strange that increasing his protein intake and his fat intake hasn't helped. So, I don't know what it is. My metabolism's really high. I know it is. I don't know if there's anything beyond that that's contributing to my weight issue, but I just cannot gain weight. Like, by eating,
there
it's a
are
problem.
Three problems that you have. Number one. Your bod will only do synthesis of new cells if you make it.
Mm.
Your bod does not want to make new cells because new cells are expensive calorically. Yeah. So you tell your bod to make new cells by lifting.
Mm.
Or, okay, fine. You don't add new muscle cells. They just the old ones just get bigger and store more glycogen. Whatever. Quiet, nerd. This isn't an anatomy class. Two.
This is lifting.
Yeah. What does science have to do with the gym, brother? Two. Your food choices are not calorically dense enough. I happen to know for a fact one of your favorite snacks is popcorn.
I freaking love popcorn.
Another one of your favorites is cereal.
Yeah.
Those are both terrible things to be eating if you're trying to gain weight, because there's not any calories. Even the extra buttery butter popcorn for the whole bag is like 200 calories.
Yeah.
It fills you up because it's a whole bunch of popcorn, which is why I used to have Ryan drinking a special concoction of mine.
Thick milk,
which is like heavy whipping cream. Milk,
yogurt,
Greek yogurt, protein powder,
peanut butter. Are we missing anything? I think that's it.
So sometimes when I would make thick milk for myself, I would use half and half. I would use milk, protein powder, powdered milk, yogurt, peanut butter, tahini, which is sesame seed butter,
creatine.
I didn't have creatine then. I do take creatine now. And some oatmeal.
Mm.
And you throw all that crap into a blender and make like a 30-ounce shake of it. And it's like, I don't know, 2,500 calories. And you drink that sucker.
Yeah.
And that'll put some meat on your bones.
Yeah.
Put a day's worth of calories in a blender.
I'm going to be getting back into drinking thick milk as I get back into lifting. So,
And the final thing is that you just don't have a whole lot of appetite, which yeah. lifting helps increase your appetite.
Yeah.
But just on your own, you know, I've been to Waffle House with you before. You get a hash brown bowl and you eat a third of it and then you're full.
Hey, last time I was there, I ate the whole bowl.
Sometimes I'll bring muffins for recording.
Yeah.
And Ryan will eat half a muffin.
I had one whole donut this time.
And then he'll be like, oh, I'm full. And he'll finish eating the muffin. And he'll just not eat the whole muffin, which is why you don't gain weight. Because you get full after half a muffin, which is why you need to drink thick milk. It's easier to drink your calories. I used to weigh, personally, in my adult life, at my lightest, I was 125 pounds. That was pretty light for me. I usually stayed around 135 to 140.
Yeah.
I currently weigh over 200 pounds. It's not entirely muscle, to be sure, but it's mostly beef. Yeah. I hope you get them gains, brother.
It'll be, I don't know if a good time is the right word, but it will be a time.
The best time to get gains is a couple years. Well, I was going to say about 3 years ago.
Oh.
The second best time is right now.
Yeah.
That's the second best time to get into
the best time to invest in Apple stocks was 20 years ago, but the second best time is maybe now?
No.
I don't know anything about stocks. Anyway.
Apple's going to.
Don't take financial advice from us.
Do take financial advice from us. Buy gold and bonds. Listen. Yes. Don't buy things that we can make more of, okay? We can always make more stocks. We can always make more companies. Quit putting your money in that. It's usury anyway, which is a sin. Invest in things we can't make more of.
Like gold.
Gold and dirt.
Silver.
Silver too. Those are good investments. If you want to do a bond, fine, but that assumes that the government will still be here in 100 years. So,
yeah,
it probably will be, but, you know, whatever. Gold and dirt, that's what you buy.
Anyway,
what are we talking about?
Yeah, so we're finally done talking about Ignatius Williams.
Woo, yay.
It was a good time, but it was a long time.
Yeah.
And it's time to move on to other things.
Took us three recording sessions?
Yeah, four? So.
Three, four recording
almost
sessions?
Almost 4 or 5 months.
Yeah.
Which is wild.
Yeah, we've been with Ignatius for a minute.
So it's time to get back to our roots, William, by which I mean we're going to talk about a subject that I've done zero research on and I'm not prepared for.
All right.
This is going to be a shorter one, though, because I don't think we need to take an hour to talk about this anyway. William, do you know what we're talking about?
I have no idea. What are we talking about, Ryan?
Great. William, today, we, as vocal figures on the internet, are going to be discussing if using the internet is sinful and whether or not it's a good thing. We're talking about the internet, William.
All right.
And from our Christian point of view, how should we interact with the internet, if at all? And is it a net positive for humanity? Yay!
What is sin?
I don't know if we should start there or not, but...
I mean, if we're going to decide if using the internet's a sin, we need to know what sin is.
I suppose. Well, sin is a curse. And the curse of sin is doing things or even believing things that are in opposition to the mind of God. I don't know if that's entirely on base, but I'm shooting off the
cuff
here. That's
pretty good. There's a theologian whose name I don't remember, but I would like to credit him for it because this is not my idea, but well, a theologian who I don't remember the name of. He's a modern fella. He has put it as sin is the spoiling of shalom.
Mm.
So shalom being the Greek word, Hebrew word for peace.
Yep. Peace be with you.
Yeah. And sin are things that spoil that, and that create division and alienation.
Yeah.
And I will yes and that and say that sin's things that causes division, causes alienation, both between us and God and us and others and even us and ourselves. So you can sin against self. which we hardly ever talk about in the church, and we should talk about it much more, but we... So, are there uses of the internet that spoil shalom?
Absolutely.
For my definition, or uses of the internet that, in your definition, operate in opposition to the will of God.
To the mind of God, even.
Or mind of God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Different things.
Well.
Sort of. Yeah. Maybe. Maybe not.
Well, that would
That's a discussion for another day.
That would get us into a Trinitarian discussion. It's a fairly consistent historical teaching that the will of God is the Spirit and that the mind of God is Christ.
Mm.
That's a thing that you see a lot in a lot of ancient stuff and a lot of Catholic stuff.
In opposition to the will and mind of God.
Yeah, and in God there is no division, for there is no sin in God.
Amen, amen.
Which means that his mind and will are both the same.
Yes.
But also distinct.
Yeah, so I think it's... Like, we can just come out and straight up say,
distinction without division.
There are absolutely uses of the internet that are sinful by nature, straight up. That there's no denying that, I think. And that can be said about a lot of things. I want to be clear. That's not specific to the internet. But, like, porn exists on the internet, man. Porn's a sin.
Yep.
It's that simple.
The lust associated with porn is a sin, and the fornication going on in the porn is a sin.
But what if the porn, I'm getting into this, man. this is really weird, but like, what if the porn, the people fornicating in porn, what if they're married?
That's why I said that the sin is also in the lust,
in
you perceiving the thing. This is one of the harder teachings of Jesus, is that it is not merely murder that is sin. Of course, the murder is sin, but it's also the fact that you in your heart desire to murder someone, that you have that in you. That is
a
sin.
You have already done so in your heart.
Yeah. And we've got that spoiling of shalom, that division, that sin against self, where you allow yourself to become the kind of thing that would kill.
Mm.
And in the instance of pornography, it's, you know, lust. If you look at a woman with lust in your heart, you've already committed adultery.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have allowed the spoiling of the interior of yourself by giving into that.
Or let's look at, like, social media, for example. Social media over the last decade
or two. Which is also porn in a lot of ways.
Yes. In the last, you know, decade or two, social media has, in a lot of ways, I think, idolized the human experience for some people, where it breeds jealousy of, oh, look at that person and their life. I wish I was doing that, or I wish I had that kind of life. Or it's allowed us in a lot of ways to idolize people like celebrities and go, oh, look at X actor or X musician. I want to keep up with their lives and every little thing that they do.
I'm going to take your word for it, because I'm not on any social media.
And I'm not really either, actually. So, like, I have social media. Fun fact, just about the only thing I use social media for is to look at memes.
I believe
exclusively. And, like, I don't know. I'll see, like, people I know, like, on there, like, giving life updates or talking about stuff. But, like, I'm going to be honest, I ignore it mostly because I don't care that much.
Yeah.
And maybe that's kind of rude of me sometimes, because sometimes the stuff on there is like, oh, this person I know is going through, like, a really intense surgery. I should pray for them. And that's great. But then other times it's like, oh, X person is out on vacation in this place. I don't care. But it has bred, I think, a jealous culture. At least here in America. I can't speak so much elsewhere, but I think it's bred a jealous culture into our country.
I think you're probably right. I think that there are perhaps even more insidious problems with social media that slide by unnoticed. Most people, even secular people, would agree with what you've said.
Yeah.
That's bad for us to have the jealousy. I think there's another thing in social media that's bad too.
Okay.
Where it changes the way you experience things.
Mm.
Instead of your sushi order being something that you delight in because it is good and because it's been well presented and you delight in it in the moment, you view it as an opportunity to create content.
Mm.
You end up doing things for the sake of postability.
Mm.
And that is, yes, selfishness is a problem, but that is a particular type of arrogance. And wanton self-importance that is also bad.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that gets glossed over by a lot of people.
Mm.
I don't quite notice that for what it is.
Well, another thing too, so look at communication and the way that's developed with the coming up of the internet over the last several decades. One of the things people praise about the internet so much is how it has connected everyone in the world in a way that has never been done before. I'm able to hop on my computer or on my pocket computer, as it were, my cell phone, and I'm able to communicate with somebody on the opposite side of the world in real time. I don't have to send a letter and wait for a response for 6 months. I don't have to travel to the other side of the world on a boat or a plane to go see somebody and speak face to face. It's all right at my fingertips, and I can communicate with anybody at any time in real time. There are some benefits to this. There are good things about that, right? If I've got family who lives on the other side of the world now, I have that connection to them that would not be possible otherwise. And that can be a good thing. But also, when I no longer have to go out of my way to cultivate deep, real relationships with my neighbors, I think that might cause some problems. Because suddenly, I'm not focused on loving my neighbor. I'm focused on loving, or maybe not even loving, but communicating with somebody who is, in many ways, not my neighbor. And my attention is being diverted. Is that problematic?
First of all, I don't like the term problematic.
Mm.
I think I've bit you about that before.
Probably.
Oh, no. Cussed.
Ah.
Dang it. but problematic, it imparts a quality on a thing without evaluating it.
Okay.
All right. So if I say the Kansas City Chiefs are problematic, I have now imparted a quality on the Kansas City Chiefs.
Mm-hmm.
If I say the Kansas City Chiefs use a culture that is not theirs
mm-hmm.
and mock it.
Mm-hmm.
And this is wrong because mockery is bad.
Yeah.
I have now evaluated and identified things about it, whether or not you think that about the Kansas City Chiefs, we can argue. But to say it's problematic allows me to put a negative thing, a negative quality to a thing without ever doing any work and never actually evaluating it. So
to properly evaluate then, because I did say it anyway, I guess, but
yeah.
Do you think this creates a culture of taking my attention away from what would be my neighbors and focusing on developing proper, real relationships with people in my community and putting it elsewhere?
Yes, and Ignatius of Antioch in his letters does not know everyone he's writing his letters to, and he still loves them. And Paul does not know the church in Rome when he writes the epistle to the Romans, and they can still love them and conceptualize them as neighbors, and that can still be good.
Mm-hmm.
So you can legitimately care about and love neighbors that are, shall we say, far-flung.
Sure.
I think that a bigger problem, and this brings us back to the definition of sin as alienation, is that communicating with people on the other side of the globe instantaneously alienates you from reality.
Mm.
To communicate with someone in a way that is seamlessly the same as real in-person communication, functionally, you know?
Yeah.
You're on a voice call and it's the same as in-person communication, a voice call or perhaps even a video call.
Yeah.
It's the same as in person, but it is not in person.
Mm-hmm.
And real life that happens right here, it, with real stuff, with meat,
mm-hmm.
meat to meat, right?
Yeah.
That meat to meat, that real life is robbed from people who are chronically online.
Mm.
And they end up, I think, oftentimes feeling alienated from themselves and alienated from life because what they've been doing is an alienating thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that, that's
yeah.
bad.
Or let's talk about how, in reality, the way that people use this communication at our fingertips oftentimes is also not good. Because you can say, I'm reaching out to someone lovingly across the globe, and that's all fine and well.
Yeah, that'd be great.
What about the guy on Facebook who's calling people slurs? What about the guy who's communicating with somebody from far away, telling them to kill themselves? Because this happens.
I got kicked out of Arby's for being racist.
You did. What? I forgot about that.
What?
You've told me about that, haven't you?
No, it's a meme.
Maybe.
I've sent you that meme before.
That's probably what it is then. You sent yeah. me the meme.
You thought I got kicked out of Arby's for being racist?
Now I'm confusing it in my mind with the thing that actually happened to you.
See?
See?
You're alienated from reality.
See?
There's a meme where a guy makes a Facebook post and the post says, I got kicked out of Arby's for being racist.
Yeah.
And someone replies to it and says, what happened? And he replies, I was being racist. And this is funny to me because it was absurd.
Yes.
I think it's McDonald's. I think it's I got kicked out of McDonald's
it's
for being
something
racist.
Something like that.
Whatever.
But like,
that did not happen to me. That happened to some other joker.
This stuff actually happens. People abuse this ability to communicate. They abuse it to commit sin and do sinful things.
Yeah.
We should probably be more scared of that as the church than we are.
I am going to take a page out of like the NRA's playbook.
Mm-hmm.
Well, actually, the AR-15 is a tool, and it's not the tool's fault when someone gets killed.
Yeah.
You don't blame a hammer when someone beats someone to death with a hammer. So like the internet's a tool.
Yes.
It's not the internet's fault when people use it for like porn or for verbally accosting others or telling people to kill themselves or trying to make problems with.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the internet's fault when people misuse the tool. But there is an important difference. A hammer has a very clear,
mm-hmm.
very specific function. It is to drive nails or to remove nails if it's a claw hammer.
Yeah.
If you are using a hammer for something other than driving nails or removing nails, you're clearly abusing the hammer. You are not using it how you're supposed to.
Yeah.
Because it has a clear function. That is not so for the internet. What is the purpose of the internet? What is the function of the internet?
I think
that's less clear to me.
And I think that's a thing that has changed over time. Because back when the internet was first being developed and first got into the hands of the general public, I think it was a little more clearly defined, simply due to the limitations that it had, right? The internet of ye olden days was limited communication with other people who had access to the internet, you know, very specific programs to do very specific things, like document things or to program applications or to do this or that. It was very limited. Not so today. The internet can do just about anything now, right? If you can think it, there's probably a way to do it on the internet. Or if not, they're trying to make it happen on the internet.
Yeah.
So
true.
I think that is less so an issue with the internet naturally so much as that is an issue that has developed with the internet. And the way that it has changed over its lifespan. So I think you are right, though. Now that we are at this point, the internet has a very less defined use case. the internet is not for a specific thing. The internet is, and we use the internet.
Yeah. It's kind of like the metaphor of the information superhighway is not a mistake.
Yeah.
The highway is for transportation. Transportation of what? Well, whatever. The internet's the information superhighway. Yeah. The superhighway for what kind of information? Well,
yes.
All of it.
Yeah. Let's look at even... Let's forget pornography, because pornography is legal in the U.S., right? Like, we can call it sin all we want, but it's legal.
Okay.
I can't do much about that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
What about the people using the internet to traffic human beings, to sexually abuse human beings, to sell drugs illegally, or mm-hmm, firearms, mm-hmm. or any number of horrendous, awful, horrible, illegal things? That happens on the internet every single day. That's a problem. We should not be okay with that. So me, as a Christian who has that conviction, but also knowing, unfortunately, the reality is, there's not a whole lot I can do about it. What am I supposed to do with that, man? Should I just be okay with it and go, well, I'm just going to use the internet anyway? Or should I have a stick up my butt and say, I'm never going to use the internet again because of these problems? What's my response here? How am I supposed to react to this as a Christian?
So, first of all, boats are used to transport cocaine.
Yeah.
I have moral objections to cocaine usage.
Yes.
This does not mean I cannot use a boat.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The internet is used by certain bad actors to wicked ends,
mm-hmm.
just like a boat can be used by drug smugglers. The internet can be used to, traffic people or sell drugs or whatever. That doesn't mean that I can never use the internet.
Mm.
If I don't want my tool, my boat, to be used for trafficking drugs, I simply do not use it for trafficking drugs.
Yeah.
And then I am able to use the boat without issue.
Without moral compromise.
Yeah, without moral compromise. The same is somewhat true for the internet. It gets a little bit more difficult. Because while it is kind of like a boat, there are companies that own the lake.
Yeah.
Yeah. And those companies that own the lake know which boats have cocaine on them.
Yeah.
And those companies that own the lake leave those boats that are peddling cocaine alone, even though they know what they're doing. There are certain companies that know darn well who's downloading child porn.
Mm-hmm.
And for some reason that I do not know, they leave them alone for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
And when I use their services, when I use their lake, I have to pay the day fee. And I have to make the company that knows where the cocaine is, on which vessels, I have to pay them $20 to use the ramp to get on their lake.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to do that with the internet. The place where the human trafficking is and the drugs are being sold and the child porn is, and they know where it's at, I have to give them money to use their service,
mm-hmm.
to use their lake. So while I can use the boat properly and use it well, I do have to share the waters with a lot of unsavory people and a lot of unsavory practices, and I don't like that very much.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what the right answer is. To an extent, the internet is no longer optional.
Mm.
If you want to apply to a job, you're going to be using the internet.
Yeah.
Unless you are going to just, grow most of your own food, keep a couple chickens and like a yard, a goat in your yard, and you know, you work at a landscaping company, just moving bricks, and they let you, it's a small locally owned thing, they let you sign up with paper and they pay you $20 an hour. You could do that.
Yeah. So like recently, it just came out, Christopher Walken, the actor, came out and like in an interview or something like that, he mentioned like, I've never used the internet. Like, I don't have a phone. I've never emailed in my life. I don't own a computer. However he talks, man. He talks weird. Foo Fighters, you know.
He went from like Boston to British to some other things.
Slightly racist, sorry. Anyway.
To who? Bostonians?
Bostonians, I guess.
Is that where he's from? Is Walken, Christopher Walken?
I don't know. But like Christopher Walken is like, I have never
I don't use the internet.
I've never used the internet.
It's not Walken.
Which, especially for a big name celebrity like him, is really odd. You don't see that really. And he seems to be doing just fine.
Well, he had the good pleasure of being famous before the internet.
Mm.
So when someone wants Christopher Walken in their movie, they're going to get Christopher Walken. And he doesn't need to do anything.
They come to him.
They come to him. He's able to sit back on his butt and just let it happen.
Yeah.
For us normal people, us plebeians, we don't get that good pleasure. If you want a different job than the one you have today, you're probably almost certainly going to have to use the internet to fill out an application or to have an email for them to contact you.
Something, too, I want to touch on is we're all aware that child porn goes around on the internet. And that drugs are sold on the internet, and that illegal things happen. We know these things happen.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a secret. I think there's probably a more subtle, far more insidious thing happening on the internet that a lot of us ignore. And I think we probably shouldn't.
Which thing?
I think that these big tech companies and these billionaires and these global companies and these providers for internet and all these things. I might sound a little bit like a conspiracy theorist here, but I'm okay with that because I think it's true. I think subtle messaging, sublime imagery, things of
subliminal.
That, subliminal, thank you. Subliminal imagery. Things of that nature, they are being shoved down your throat on the internet and you don't even realize it. And they are trying to sway your behavior. They're trying to guide your thoughts. They are trying to make you behave and think a certain way to make them richer, to get you to do things that benefit them or to the ends of certain ideals that they hold, right? Like, look at just, like, targeted advertisement. Because we all know that's a thing that happens. Your microphone on your cell phone listens to you, and then they target you with specified adverts to make you buy specific things. That's scary.
Yeah.
And I think it goes deeper, and I think it gets more insidious than that. I think, maybe I'm off base here, I think a lot of these companies, a lot of these billionaires, they're trying to push forward very insidious, very disturbing, one might call satanic ideologies and satanic behaviors. I think they're subtly putting those in front of you in an attempt to make our nation and our world less Christian and to make us want to be less Christian. Am I insane for thinking that? Because I think it's true.
Yes, but no.
Like, I know, I sound like one of those crazy fanatics, ironically, on the internet saying, they're trying to turn you all into Satanists and trying to make you apostatize from the church. I think that actually happens, though.
I think that billionaires love money.
They sure do.
Which is why they're billionaires. And I think that our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, is quite clear that loving money is the root of all evil.
Mm.
I don't know that tech billionaires have a particular plan, but I do know that you being content means that sales go down.
Mm.
So if they can make you discontent, they will. And they will use whatever means they have available to themselves to make you discontent through advertisements or targeted or otherwise, through social engineering, subtle messaging, subliminal images. Sure, maybe, why not? I don't know. And that in and of itself is pretty bad.
Mm-hmm.
I had a thought the other day.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to give you a phrase, but I'm going to leave a word out.
Okay.
And I'm going to see if you can finish the phrase for me. It's a phrase related to like marketing.
Okay.
Okay. Blank sells.
Sex.
Sex sells.
Yeah.
The most marketable thing is apparently probably sexuality.
Yeah.
Your sexuality, sex is the most sellable thing that there is.
Yeah.
And somehow, some way, for some reason, that most marketable thing is available in mass for complete and total gratis. It's totally free to get all the porn you could possibly want.
And yet somehow Pornhub and its owner, and the owner of Pornhub owns several websites
sure.
for pornography, but that's obviously the biggest one. He's a billionaire. And the porn industry is, if I'm not mistaken, one of, if not the most lucrative
industry. I'm sure it's a multi-billion dollar company.
On the planet.
All you need is an 18-year-old girl who's having a hard time and could use $1,000.
Or, you know, someone you can convince people is 18 years old.
Yeah. And those are, you could find 18-year-olds that need $1,000 super easy.
And this is the most lucrative business on the planet, the entire industry.
And they're not charging you money.
Well, some of them do, but by and large.
But generally.
Yeah.
For some reason, whoever the people are that are behind the pornography industrial complex have a vested interest in A, it being available for free, and B, you being hooked.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't need you to pay a dollar. What crack dealer would give you infinite crack
for free?
For free.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying.
What cigarette company would give you cigarettes
for free? Somebody is paying to make all that stuff and to get it out there and in front of you. And sex sells.
Mm-hmm.
And for some reason, they're not selling it.
Mm.
I make no claims about conspiracies, at least not on this episode.
Yeah.
I make no claims about ties to the Temple of Set or that the lieutenant colonels in the United States military have, although there are. I make no claims about underground passages in preschools, although the FBI website has some information about that kind of thing. Whatever. I don't make any claims about any of that. I'm not saying any of that's true or not true. I'm saying that someone out there wants you and me to look at porn, and they don't charge us for it, and somehow it makes them billions.
Somehow.
Something's off.
Somehow it is still the most lucrative industry on the planet.
Mm-hmm. I wonder what their motivation might be.
So all that to say, And that's why I wanted to talk about this, because this is our reality, man. This is the world we live in. Should we, not can we, because we can, but should we, as Christians, use the internet, interact with the internet? Because, like, you and I, we're doing this podcast on the internet, so I know this sounds, like, super hypocritical, but, like, we are attempting to do a good thing on the internet right now. That's what we're trying to do, and I hope it's good. And that it provides some kind of goodness for some people on the internet. Should we be doing this? Should we be interacting with the internet?
I don't know, dog. Like, you know, my boat metaphor, I think, has some weight to it.
Mm-hmm.
You could also say, well, the printing press was made, and you could use the printing press to make leaflets that say awful, heinous things on them.
Mm.
I think that the internet is potentially helpful.
Mm.
It's also potentially harmful.
It's definitely harmful.
Well, it doesn't have to be harmful to you if you're using it well. If you're using it the right way.
Unless I am, in fact, right in my conspiracy theory and there is something more insidious going on. And I seriously think there may be. I can't prove this. I'm not going to tell you I'm right. But that's what I think.
I think that the powers that be, insofar as they are wicked, are not that competent.
I don't know, man. The devil's cunning, right? Like,
I don't think he is. I think he's dumb as crap. He's dumb as a box of rocks. I've read the back of the book. I know what happens to his butt, and he does too. And yet he keeps up with his shenanigans.
And I think that the devil is clever enough to put things in place and set things in motion to make things happen. Because if he wasn't, everyone would be a freaking Christian by now. But they're not.
I think
the enemy is clever enough, just clever enough to make some things happen.
I think you're giving him too much credit.
Mm.
I think he's dumb.
One of the few things I appreciate that Martin Luther did say is that all you need to send the devil away from you is to fart in his direction because he's too proud.
Yeah.
And I actually do find that quite funny.
I don't think that the intention of people like Zuckerface, I don't think that his intention is to make the culture less Christian.
You think his intention is just to make money?
I think his intention is to make money, and to make money, he has to do things that make the culture less Christian.
Mm.
So that's not his ultimate goal.
It's a byproduct.
It's a byproduct that happens because to make money, he has to sow discontent in you.
Mm.
To sow discontent in you is to give room to greed and avarice. To get you to click on the thing so that they get ad revenue, they need you to be the kind of thing that is outraged. Mm-hmm. They need you angry. And you have to have anger in your heart. And you know what our Lord says about having anger in your heart. The byproduct is that the culture becomes less Christian.
Mm.
The goal is to make money. That's what I think. And so I think you're probably right about the end. I don't think the motivation, at least for Zuckerface, is that. Yeah. However, that does not mean that he is not unwittingly a pawn of much, much darker forces.
Mm.
Well, although, I don't know how many much darker forces there are than Facebook. That's a pretty dark force.
You think it would be reasonable to say that your stance is using the internet is fine if you use it the right way, and that we as Christians don't need to feel morally compromised for doing so?
Using the internet can be fine. Know thyself. Perhaps you cannot use it in the right way. Perhaps you're the type of person who just can't quite not look at things you shouldn't.
Mm.
If that's the case, take your router and throw it into a lake. You don't need the internet. Get rid of it.
Yeah.
And if you're able to sail those waters and never get any cocaine into your boat, that's all well and good.
But if you're getting cocaine in your boat,
you gotta can't keep that cocaine in your boat. You might not be able to keep the boat. You might not be able to be on the lake. Insofar as giving money to certain internet providers that do not do the right thing, because we have to pay to use the lake. The lake is the internet in this case.
Yes.
And the owner of the lake is the internet service providers. We have to give them money to use the lake with our boat. And perhaps they know things that are going on the lake that are unsavory and they're not doing anything about it. If you feel conviction about that and morally compromised, then you probably shouldn't be using the internet.
Mm.
Personally, I don't, because
just because Playboy made porn magazines back before the internet doesn't mean that magazines are inherently a bad thing and that I can't read magazines.
Yeah, and I mean, magazines are probably a waste of your time. The internet's probably a waste of your time, too. But if you like it and it's not leading you to sin...
No, I read it for the articles, William.
I don't believe you.
That's a little old-timey humor for you Gen Alphas who don't know what that means. Am I old, William?
Yes.
I turned 25 this year. Am I old?
Yeah. Yeah, you are.
Crap.
There are two generations after you now.
Mm. Your wife, my sister, turned 30 very recently.
Yeah.
I texted her on her birthday. Did she share this with you?
I think she did, but I don't remember what she said. Just old or something.
I texted her. I was like, yo, happy 30th. She said, thanks. And my response was, how does it feel? Are you brutally aware of your mortality and your advanced age? And in all caps, her response was, yes, Ryan, thanks for reminding me.
There are worse things than remembering that death comes for us all.
Mm.
So thanks for listening. I hope you enjoyed our intemperate rant about the nature of the internet.
I don't know what the takeaway is here, really, but... I think this is an important discussion to have the church, and I think a lot of us are afraid to have it.
You've been bothering me for like a year about doing this episode. Yeah. So
and I'm glad we finally had it. And I think it was an interesting discussion at least. So
yeah, I mean,
do with it what you will. Thanks for listening. Any questions, comments, concerns, put it in the comments on the YouTube or email us at theologyish@gmail.com where we can maybe respond to you if we want to.
Unless we decide that the use of email is in fact evil and therefore do not reply.
Yes. Otherwise, like, comment, subscribe, share with a friend who is chronically online so that they can maybe reconsider some things. We'll be back next week with something probably a little more theology heavy, and it'll be a good time.
Verily. All right. That's it.
Catch you later.